opening hymn, number 730. 730, What is the World to Me? Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. Page 184 and following, we have worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Our focus today will be on the gospel reading, the miraculous catch of fish, and the reaction of Peter. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts this day. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you as always for the opportunity to be in your house, to hear your word, to receive your gifts. Heavenly Father, you are indeed holy, and we are not. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, who, God in the flesh, holy for us, drives away our fear and gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Teach us today to live in that forgiveness, in the freedom that Christ has won for us. All these things, Lord, we pray in the powerful and precious name of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 730.
Thank you.
Service Setting 3, page 184, page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
You who have been my help.
Let us pray. Oh God, you have prepared for those who love you good things that surpass all understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him. And he took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them, and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Victory for in his body on the tree he carries.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel, the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put a little out from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made,
being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Continue with our hymn of the day, number 688. 688.
Thank you. and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. We all know that Peter said a lot of dumb things. He often put his foot in his mouth. But this time, Peter got it right. In fact, this might just be the second best thing that Peter ever said. At your word, I will let down the nets. What a great statement of faith. Now consider this for a moment. Peter was a commercial fisherman. He wasn't fishing like some of us do for fun. He was fishing to survive, to put food on his table. And he and his crew had been out all night, and they caught nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I've had to work all night, by the time the sun comes up, I'm generally not in the best mood. Then try to tell me that I'm not getting paid. Things just got a whole lot worse. Peter and company toiled all night long. They got nothing. And you know, this wasn't the kind of fishing that we like to do with our feet propped up on a cooler of beer. This was hard, physical, back-breaking labor. All night long, pulling heavy, wet nets up out of the water by hand. And so even when the sun came up, the work wasn't done, because now they had to drag those nets to the shore, clean them out, repair them, fold them back up, and put everything away. Then they could go home. So along comes Jesus. And to some, Jesus looks like a failed carpenter who abandoned the family business, some wannabe self-styled homeless preacher and rabbi. Jesus wants to use Peter's boat. You just imagine Peter saying, "Sure, go ahead. That's a useless boat anyways. It doesn't catch fish. Help yourself." But Jesus wants more. "Peter, take the boat out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now here's the point where you could just imagine all the frustration of the night before boiling over. Fishermen are often crusty. And we know from later in the Gospels that Peter had a full vocabulary. He denied his Lord with oaths and curses. So can you just imagine what might have been going through Peter's mind? Does this loser, who can't even hold a carpentry job, think that he's going to come onto my boat and tell me how to fish? Everybody knows there's no fish out in the middle of the lake in the middle of the day. But this guy thinks he knows where the fish are. Are you kidding me? That was the PG version. Imagine that a stranger came to your place of work and started telling you how to do your job. Moms, imagine that a stranger showed up and started telling you how to raise your kids. How would you react? Peter was a professional. He knew where the fish were. And so Peter could have said any number of unrepeatable things. But instead he said, "At your word, I will let down the nets." It's amazing. What would cause someone like Peter to set aside everything that he knew from years of experience and trust the foolish words of Jesus? We call this story the miraculous catch of fish, but you know, perhaps we should call it the miraculous confession of Peter, because it is a miracle. This is impossible for men to trust the word of Christ. The gospel seems like foolishness to those who are perishing. And when you're faced with a crisis, what do you often do? Where do you run? Well, as Martin Luther said, we run to our God. When there's no fish, no peace, no joy, we often turn to the false idols of entertainment, of science, medicine, self-help books, alcohol, you name it. Surely the missing piece of my life can be found in a new relationship. Maybe I should go on a diet. That will help. Perhaps, honey, it's time to have another child or get a new career. And here in the church, when things aren't going right, we often put our trust in a new program. We've got no fish. We've got no new people in the pews. Never mind that Jesus said he would build his church. It's up to us. We need to do something. Let's get rid of the net of the gospel and instead put something flashy on a hook and let's trick people into biting. Then we'll reel them in with false promises. We can talk about doctrine later once we get them in the door. Let's build bridges to our community. Oh yeah, how about a community garden? Let's have a free movies and popcorn night. That will get people in the church. You know, if Jesus had done a demographic study on the Lake of Gennesaret, he would have found out what the experts already knew. You don't catch fish in the heat of the day. There has never been an evangelism program based on the ministry of our Lord. Why is that? Because everybody knows you will never catch fish by preaching law and the gospel. Talking about sin and forgiveness, that's a real downer. Listen to the experts. They know how to catch the fish. They know how to grow the church. But Peter answered, "Master, we toiled all night long and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they all began to sink. Doesn't this sound just like life? Sometimes life seems like you move from one catastrophe to another with short little commercial breaks in between. One moment, just like Peter, you thought your problem was we don't have any fish. It's a catastrophe. I've got no job. I've got no money. I'm swimming and drowning in debt. My life's a disaster. I wish I were married. I wish I had kids. And then a short while later, we've got a whole new problem. Too many fish. We're drowning in fish. I've got too much work. I'm under so much pressure. I'm stressed. I hate my job. I hate my boss. My marriage is falling apart. My kids are driving me crazy. We're all gonna drown. And what's Jesus doing about it? You know, Jesus, I thought you were here to fix my problems, but it seems like ever since you got in the boat, things are getting worse. Now we're sinking. And so just like Peter, as we stand there in the sinking boat in the presence of Jesus, suddenly we realize the problem was never about fish. Not enough fish. Too many fish. No. The problem is sin. Sin and death is the reality for all fallen men. You are born already dead in sins and trespasses. And it doesn't matter whether you believe this or not. There's no explaining. No convincing, there's just sinking. Never mind the fish that are trying to drag you down into the depths of the sea. The weight of your sin is bearing down on you, crushing you, and threatening to drag you down into the depths of hell. And all your efforts can't do anything to fix it. All the opinions of the learned experts of this world, all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot put your broken, sinful life back together. You know, we have more self-help books today than any one person could probably read in an entire lifetime. And you know what? People are more miserable than ever. The experts don't know where the fish are, and they certainly don't know how to keep you from drowning in sin. We've got seminars on marriage, on child raising, on education, and for all that, the world continues to sink deeper and deeper. So Peter looked around at the catch of fish and the sinking boats. He fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Finally, for the first time, Peter recognized the true problem. He stood in the presence of God incarnate. He stood in front of the man who was the light of the world, and in that light, for the first time, Peter saw himself reflected in the mirror of God's law. And Peter knew and confessed, "I am a sinful man." And what happens to sinners when they come into the presence of the holy, righteous God? Well, you know, you don't have to worry about drowning, but you might have to worry about incineration. God is a holy, righteous, all-consuming fire. Mountains and hills melt before him like wax. And sinners? Oh, they go up in smoke. Peter cried out in terror, "Depart from me." This is a horrible prayer, but you know, it does make perfect sense to the carnal mind. You see, when I encounter Jesus, I see what a great sinner I am. My sins are weighing down on me, crushing me, threatening to drag me down. I feel like I'm sinking. Well, what should I do? Get rid of Jesus, of course. Depart from me, Lord. When I come to church and hear the law of God proclaimed and exposes me for the sinner that I am, this is uncomfortable. I don't like it. What should we do? Well, depart from me. Stop talking about that. Don't tell me about sin. These are the solutions of the old Adam. And you know, Peter was doing so well. He had said two good things in the same day. But he's like some vicars, he doesn't know when to quit. Depart from me, Lord. That's probably the second worst thing that Peter ever said. Peter, if Jesus departs from you, if the word of God departs from your midst, then you will surely perish. You will be dragged down into the depths, and there will be no escape. Thank God that sometimes the answer to our prayers is no. No, I will never leave you or forsake you. No, I will not depart from you, Peter. But what about our sin? God cannot dwell in the presence of sin, and we are sinners. This is true. And so if we are sinners and God will not depart from us, then we're going to perish. Indeed, God declares, "The soul that sins shall die." But this is not the end of the story. And God's ways are not our ways. His plan of salvation was one that even if the experts had sat around for hundreds of years brainstorming, they would never have come up with this. For Jesus says to you, "Your sin has been taken away. You shall not die." How is this, Lord? Because your sins now belong to me. Your guilt is now my guilt, and your death will be my death. These are Christ's words to you. And so our Lord and Savior stepped down into the deathly waters of the Jordan, bearing the weight of your sin upon his shoulders. He said to you, "You will not sink and drown, for I will suffer the bitterness of death in your place. The Lord of life was pulled down under the water by the weight of the fish, the weight of those he had come to catch, Peter, James, and John, and you. He was pulled down into the depths of hell. And as he hung upon his cross, he called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God the Father, who has promised never to depart from you, never to leave or forsake you, forsook his own Son instead of you. The holy, righteous anger of God was poured out upon Christ without measure, and he was incinerated in your place. The sin bearer was utterly consumed along with all your sin. The wrath of God was exhausted. It was spent, and your sin is now no more. It has been cast into the depths of the sea. Jesus said to Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." These are words of absolution. You need not fear to stand in the presence of the holy, righteous God because your sin has been forgiven. You shall not die, as the psalmist says, for you shall live and you will declare the deeds of the Lord. Because Jesus did not come to catch Peter only. He didn't come to forgive only your sins, but the sins of the whole world. And so your absolution is also a commission to recount the deeds of the Lord. Those who are forgiven much, what do? They also love much. They can't help it. This isn't a program that the church tries to do. It's who we are. Those who are caught in the net of the gospel become fishers of men. And how do we fish? We fish as our Lord has taught us, without hook or lure, but with the holy truth of the Word of God. We preach the uncomfortable gospel where we are not invited in the midst of a hostile world. We fish in places and times where the experts say, there are no fish. But you know what? God continues to do what he has done since the days of the early church. The Lord adds to the number of the church those who are being saved. Luther said, if I had lacked your help, O Lord, I would have ruined everything long ago. These words are true. For unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. But we do not toil through the night in vain. For Christ is with us in the boat. He is with us in the holy ark of his church, and he has promised never to depart. Lord, at your word, we will let down the nets. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ guard and keep you in this faith, in the holy ark of his church, until the day of our Lord. Amen. Please stand for the offertory.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who has loved you in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
We stand in prayer. O God, although we are sinful, you have not departed from us, nor have you taken your Holy Spirit from us. Instead, you invite us to call upon you in every need. By your gracious invitation, we offer up our petitions to you, knowing that you will hear, you will answer. Your church is threatened by those who would do her harm, who would distort her preaching, who would turn the love that we share for each other into conflict and hatred. From all dangers to your church, deliver us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Many travel our roads to see family and friends for work or for play. Grant your safety to our youth and adults who will be traveling to Bozeman, Montana for the Higher Things Conference. From all dangers of the road, deliver us. Lord, in your mercy, illness so easily ravages our bodies, and we are left fearful. Support and uplift all those facing any kind of physical trial, especially those who have requested our prayers. And according to your will, grant health, healing, and peace. From all trials and sufferings, deliver us. Lord, in your mercy, those who mourn are tempted by the evil one to despair. Fill the hearts of all who are bereaved with the hope of your gospel, that because you have been raised, so too all who belong to you will rise. We especially remember this day the family of Marion Schmieding, the family of Lowell Rankin, and the family of Luella Bartzett. who you took to yourself this week. From mourning without hope, deliver us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The weakest among us are often preyed upon by the wicked. Defend the unborn, the poor, the mentally ill, the aged, and all those who care for them. Fill us with love and kindness that we might value all people, not based upon their utility, but as those for whom Christ has died and called to be your children. From the threats of this world against all the vulnerable, deliver us, Lord, in your mercy. You have called us all to faith through the preaching of your word and the life-giving administration of holy baptism. Grant to all your baptized children, especially Kennedy, who will be baptized this day, a firm, immovable faith, that they may stand with all the saints on the day of your return. From the temptations of the devil, deliver us, Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, O God, for the gifts of life and salvation that Christ Jesus has won for us. And we rejoice that he comes to us this day with his body and blood under the form of bread and wine. By this gracious feast of salvation, deliver us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All this we pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit is worshipped and praised, one God, now and forevermore.
Amen.
The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
precious blood of our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We invite all those who are traveling to Bozeman with the youth group, please come forward.
Youth leaders, come on now. We have many in our congregation that have gone to our Higher Things Youth Conferences in the past. This year we have a large group going to Montana, and we ask God that God would bless them, keep them safe, and we offer up our prayers and petitions now. Let us pray. Lord God and Father, you kept Abraham and Sarah in safety throughout the days of their pilgrimage. You led the children of Israel through the midst of the sea, and by a star, you led the wise men to the infant Jesus. Protect and guide these people now in this time as they set out to travel. Bless them, guide them, encourage them, strengthen them, and grow them in their faith. Make their ways safe and their homecomings joyful. And bring them at last to our heavenly home, where you dwell in glory with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We sing now the common doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And welcome in the name of Jesus. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. Kids, you can go. We'll be back in here in about, 5 to 7 minutes for our Sunday school opening. All of you are invited to join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall with Pastor Murundi leaving along with the youth to Montana. One Bible study today will continue.